All right. Welcome to the next episode of the Blue Room podcast. We're in our podcast era now. So we're here with myself, Rose, the program manager of Blue Room, and someone who doesn't really need much of an introduction, but Jenny Simpson, CEO, artistic director of the Awesome Festival. We're here at the Blue Room on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja today, and we want to pay respects to elders past and present and acknowledge this was and always will be Aboriginal land. So how are you today, Jenny?
I'm great. Doing thanks, good? Rose. Very happy to be here. We're actually recording this in the Blue Room bar. So when I was told to go to the bar before 10 a.m., I sort of thought, bring that on.
Yes. It's got a nice feeling from the night before.
It's really cool. It's
quite fresh. 10 a.m. start in the bar. Not too bad. So we're here today talking about the Blue Room and Awesome Partnership. So can you tell us a bit about how that started?
Yes, I would love to. I really love this partnership because I feel quite strongly that every arts organisation should try and make a contribution to the ecology of the sector. And one of the gaps that I've noticed in recent years is that there's very, very little incentive for emerging theatre makers or independent artists to make work for younger audiences. And the reason that there's not much incentive is, I think, largely because the box office model for these shows is particularly tricky, because the ticket prices that you can charge to families tends to be quite a lot lower than adult shows. And yet it still costs the same to make a high quality show. And so as an international arts festival, I feel that it is very much our responsibility to provide a platform for local artists' work to be seen. And the Awesome Festival obviously does that with shows that have already been made, you know, with the likes of our existing companies who make this work. But there's this thriving independent theatre scene in WA, and I've sort of variously watched independent theatre makers struggle for their work to be seen with very little support. And so keeping that in mind, I approached the Blue Room a few years ago and said, look, you are the peak body for supporting this cohort. How would you feel about having a dedicated show for young audiences in your annual program that we support? And in doing so, we can also bring new audiences to the Blue Room and support those independent makers who may have a passion and an aptitude for making work for young audiences.
Yep, great. And so the opportunity that we're working on together is that annual season offer. So it's part of our core season, and it also aligns with the Awesome Festival. So we're going to talk a bit about that opportunity today, and then how to kind of answer the application questions with a bit of insight from Jenny. So the annual season offer, it is with Awesome Festival. It's a seed fund of $5,000 between both organisations. The production week is Tuesday 10th of September to Monday 16th of September, where you get the studio space at the Blue Room, exclusive use to that, and it's really about creating your whole vision. So working with your design team, working with your artists to really realise whatever you want to do in that black box space. And then the performance dates run from the 17th of September to the 28th of September, which line up with school shows and then also the school holidays. So you get a bit of a mix of the audiences as well, don't
you?
Yeah,
look, I think that's really important because most people who make theatre for young audiences will be presenting to those two distinct audience groups, and they are really, really different. In the past, we've actually had to brief artists about the difference between a school's audience and a family audience, because with a school's audience, you have a lower ratio of adults to children. You often have what I call groupthink operating. So one kid makes a fart noise, then you've got 17 kids giggling. And they all go up. So you are dealing with a group dynamic. And if they decide to misbehave or respond positively, they can go off school shows as well. But you do have this group dynamic going on. And the relationship between teachers and students is very different to the relationship between parents and their children. So the school audience just requires a slightly different mindset for artists, and it's really good for them to understand that if they're making work for this audience. And then the general public audience is just a whole different beast again. And you know, we can often have the age group for a general public audience slightly lower because there's a much higher ratio of adults to children. And, you know, some of the shows that we present have quite challenging themes or ideas. And these are, it's kind of rich ground for parents to be sort of chatting with their children, interrogating various themes that might come up in children's lives. So, yes, I'm very pleased that we give these artists the exposure to both types of audiences because it will really support them in their ambitions to make this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. And having exposure to industry or people that are flying into this international arts festival is a huge thing as well.
Yeah, it really is. Because, you know, we're a curated festival and we present the best work that we can find from around the world. And so you've got artists in Western Australia who might be dipping their toe in to this and is this what we want to do? How do we want to roll? And then they can connect with artists who have been doing this for many, many years, who are travelling the world. And it's a great opportunity to sort of have those conversations. I also love that artists can see each other's work. Mm. You know, you learn a lot just by watching how an artist rolls when they're performing and how they interact with an audience. So, yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. And the other thing is we really try and connect them with programmers because it's really important that work has a future life. I think it'd be safe to say that money's hard to come by when it comes to making a show. So if you put in that effort and, you know, the blood, sweat and tears that goes into making a really good show and then the curtain goes down and it never sees an audience again, it's kind of heartbreaking. Yeah. And it's not good value for money, you know. Any funder would like to see that value delivered. And so, you know, we're really keen. We have an open invitation to the Circuit West presenters, the regional venues, sometimes other festivals from interstate, and occasionally international programmers come to the festival. And we make it a priority that they see the locally made work, particularly this Blue Room show. So these artists might be less experienced than some of the artists you know, who are in the festival, but I see a lot of work made for children, and I know good artists when I see them, and they might be new in their career. There are several artists who I've seen years and years ago in their first offering and thought, that show's not quite there, but I am going to keep an eye on them. Mm. They're amazing. It's really important to make those connections. And in the past, we've also had independent makers and emerging makers receive feedback from festival programmers, and that's been really, really helpful to them as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's about connecting them and finding a future life for their work.
Mm. It feels like that setting, like, shows up with the opportunity to show in front of a school audience is a great opportunity to then tour that work or to have that work exist. And I think Dreams of a Lonely Planet, who was a show last year in the partnership, pitching at Showcase next week as well. Yeah. And we have Alex and Evie and the Forever Falling Rain, Sophie Minasali here. And Sophie, you've been going on tour as well, or you're about to with the show. Yeah, which is very cool. Do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we've got a special, I was just going to do a little shout out to you.
Oh, I'm going to shout out to you.
But I think let's,
All right.
We love to hear from the artist, Sophie.
Yeah. Hi, this is just an excuse for me to talk nonsense. Yeah, so actually on the advice of Jenny, was to apply for Showcase, because we invited you to our first showing at the State Theatre when we were doing State of Play, and Xavier and I pitched, just sort of more for the experience, of pitching in front of people, what that entails, meeting people, and yeah, since then we've received funding, from the Playing WA, grant round to subsequently go on a regional tour later this year, which is very exciting. And I think children, shows for families and young people are, I think, uniquely positioned to have a really strong trajectory. So from really small, like, for speaking from us, for example, having a very low-key, like, fringe offering, learning as much as you can from that, stepping it up and sort of reimagining it in a really big way in this Blue Room sense, and then repackaging it again, thinking like, great, how can we take this on tour? How do we, again, give works the longevity and the life that they deserve? Mm-hmm. Yeah, has been really great learning experience.
Awesome. Thank you, Sophie. So we'll talk a little bit about the annual season offer, but most of that information is just on our website under artists. So it's best to just have a little look through that. We have a big application pack and you'll find the form there as well, which we're going to go through in a minute. But basically you get the support of the Blue Room Theatre, as with all of our annual season shows. And you also get the expertise and the support of the Awesome Festival as well, which is huge in navigating work for children and families. So yeah, the coming together of both orgs is great. You do get like the ticketing split and the usual 160 hours rehearsing in the space, all of that additional front of house support as well. And we do have a couple of opportunities to come and chat to us at the Blue Room about your idea. So the Thursday 3rd of August and Thursday 10th of August from 10 till 12 p.m. will just be upstairs. So just come and share your ideas with us. We're really open, Jenny and also everyone at Blue Room, to know what you're thinking. So we're going to get stuck into the application form now and just get a bit of advice about how to go about working through it. And when it's specifically about the Awesome Festival application, it is quite similar to our usual one, but we do have just a couple of key differences. So the Awesome and Blue Room application will be programmed internally by us and Awesome. And the only key difference in the application form is around the engagement selection criteria, which we'll get into soon. So the annual season and Awesome application form, we do have a tip to start early. It is due on the 22nd of August. So look at getting your team sorted and any support material you might need. Then we have the selection criteria in the pack that is based on creativity, development, engagement, and planning. So it's a really great idea to have the selection criteria like next to you and read through the pack before you get started. Just make sure that the opportunity is right for you and your team, and then you can get stuck into the questions. So we've tried to make it quite clear what we're asking for and when. So we do have the selection criteria right above the questions. And yeah, pretty accessible language in terms of question one, what do you want to make? So Jenny, I'm going to throw to you a little bit. There is a prompt there. Paint a picture of your artistic vision. Imagine describing this project to someone you don't know. Speak to concept, story, themes, and form of the work. Jenny, do you have any tips on how you would approach this, or what kind of what you want to see in an answer to that?
Well, I guess first up, I would say that we see children as citizens. They're whole people. And I'm looking for a show or a performance that engages with children without it being dumbed down, that respects them as citizens. And that's a bit of a lofty thing to say, but you know, we've all had those experiences where we've been at a performance or we've seen a film and we see the world a bit differently when we leave. Something that it doesn't have to be deep and dark and challenging. It can be absolutely joyous and whimsical, but something that really moves children to think differently about the world. I don't want to get too deep and meaningful, yeah. But yeah, that's kind of, look, I would say that also depends on the age group that you're pitching it for, because obviously if it's children aged 0 to 5, it's going to be big and bold and not have very deep themes, because it needs to be in line with the neural development of a child and what their experience of the world is. Then that sort of 5 to 10 age group, it can be a bit more sophisticated. And what I love when I go and see a show is, or when I program a show, there'll be a bunch of people who just think that was a great fun time and they had a lovely hour in the theatre and that was brilliant. And there'll be some people who go, oh, I'm thinking differently about something because of that. Or that's made me want to go and open the cutlery drawer, get some tea towels and a torch and make shadow puppetry. Or it's inspired you or made you, you know, motivated you to do something. So, you know, art impacts on people in different ways depending on where they are and what they're thinking and how they are at the time. And so, you know, you're not going to profoundly impact every child who experiences your work. But I think the intent sort of needs to be there to sort of provide something for people to think about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. And so we've got that first. I think that ties in really nicely with the second question of, like, why do you want to make it? And for people that, or for artists that, you know, have maybe been in the annual season before or have been making work for adults or different age groups, like, it's great advice that you're tapping into there about being specific quite early who your audience is, because it's going to shape the work and it's going to shape the application.
It is. And look, I think children possess the greatest gift of all, and that's their imagination. We all have an imagination, but to varying extent, it gets beaten out of us by stress, work, you know, all the stuff that goes on in our lives as busy adults. What I love most about my childhood memories is the fact that I could dream and imagine, and the world was a very different place to how I see it now. And that kind of blows my mind when I think about, like, so we're presenting work for these children who think and feel quite more broadly than most adults, you know. A lot of the time, you know, because of the education system, this top-down sort of chalk and talk model, you know, we think we've got to drill things into kids. Actually, kids can interpret abstract ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, educational. yeah, you're sitting there, you're on a stage and you've got an audience full of just wild imaginations who are going to buy into whatever your journey you're going to take them on. So think about that journey, and that you're signing up a whole bunch of crazy good individuals who can dream and feel and express themselves really openly in ways that an audience, an adult audience, usually can't. You know, as an adult, it often takes me a long time to sign up to a show when I'm in the audience. And, you know, and the minute a show captivates me and takes me somewhere else, I automatically love that show just for doing that. Mm-hmm. Whereas you've got a whole bunch of humans in there that are going to jump on board with your journey. So have a think about that journey. Where are you taking them? And, you know, create a wild ride.
Yes, that's great. And speaking of wild rides, the next question is, how do you plan to undertake the creative process? So in terms of, like, the artists, how would that differ from, I guess, a usual Blue Room show in terms of thinking about that audience? Or do you suggest, like, testing it in front of children, or how does someone go about that?
So if you come up with something in your head and you think that that's how children are going to respond, and then you put in front of children, about 100% of the time you'll find that they respond differently. So we really, really encourage people to test what they're doing with children. And in the past, we've actually connected artists with schools and classrooms and teachers who do drama, so they can come in and perform a little piece or ask questions. We have a show in this year's festival that has been entirely devised by school children with a group of artists. Don't encourage that as a process all the time. That's pretty takes a long time. But what I'm saying is, what you think kids might love might not be what kids love. So I always encourage people to get their work in front of an audience. And I'd venture to suggest, you know, Alex and Evie, the show we have in this year's program, I saw those artists performing that piece for the first time a while ago. And I bet that they came out thinking, oh, the sweet spots in that show weren't quite where we thought they were going to be.
So
yeah. And I think it applies, you know, with most audiences, really. You know, as, you know, people who perform comedy go, oh, I didn't get the laugh at the joke I thought was funny. They laughed at this bit. It's very much the same with children. And Children are even better because sometimes they just yell out what they're thinking. I've been to so many shows where there's just been this running editorial from a couple of five-year-olds, which is delicious and delightful. Children and so you kind of you don't get left wondering what kids think. Yeah. And they're the most honest audience. Like you'll know if they're not buying in as well. Often if somebody's invited me to a creative development, and this sounds like an evil thing to do, but I still do it, I'll set a timer when the show starts, and I'll clock at what point in the show it loses the children. You can tell they're getting fidgety. So, okay, there might be a little dip in the narrative there, or there might be something that just goes on too long. And so I watch audiences as much as I watch work, because and then I'll go back and say, hey, at the 14th minute in this scene, they just all started talking and squirming and da-da-da-da, and you lost them. I don't think what you're intending to do with that little piece of narrative is cutting through. You know, have a think about that. And so things like that, you know, it's a brutal thing to do, but really just having, you know, putting it in front of kids and just seeing how it rolls and where, or, you know, the age group of children also impacts their attention span. You know, so we tend not to have anything in the festival that runs over an hour, because, you know, artists.
That's my kind of festival, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I've had artists say to me, but my show is 75 minutes. Like, you're going to have 15 minutes of hell because they'll check out and they're not going to be engaged. You know, very rarely we have had a show in that's a bit longer and it has, you know, captivated the children, but I've watched that show in front of an audience before I've programmed it, and it was for slightly older children. So, yeah, and we're happy to connect artists with opportunities to road test their ideas.
So good to be flexible and open to feedback from the children.
Yeah, and look, you don't need to be too hard and fast about the age group, unless you really, really know. I'm going to make a show for 0 to 5-year-olds, and if you're going to do that, you would know you're doing that, because there's a lot of specificity in that kind of work. But by and large, people who are making work for young audiences don't necessarily have a good read on what age group this show, where it's going to land. I mean, they'll often start out with some really sophisticated ideas that work really well, but the 5-year-olds just aren't going to stick with it. Or, you know, so you really, you know, I also just encourage artists, if they're not sure of the age group, that's fine. Make work for humans. Just see an audience of little glowing red heartbeats, make it for the humans, and then start testing it with certain age groups. I'm very happy to provide input there. I mean, often I'll go and see a show, and it's the conversation that children's programmers have the most. You know, I've recently been at Dream Big Festival, and, you know, the programmers from the Opera House, Arts Centre Melbourne, QPAC, were all there. And, you know, and the first thing they say, do you think that show was too old for this age group? Or, you know, there's a show in this year's festival that we went and saw it in Adelaide, and there is no way that age group is appropriate for our audience. And so I've gone back to the company and said, hey, this is going to work better for this age group. How do you feel about that? And the producer of that show said, you know, I've always thought that. Thank you for raising it. So sometimes you don't know until the rubber hits the road. So have an idea of where you're going to pitch it, but also just be open to that and test it out.
Yep. That sounds really good. We have a question about how will you use the space? And this is question 4, outline any production and design concepts for the project. This could be set design, sound and lighting. You do have room to just put links to your support material and talk about that visually in your support material. But I just want to move on to the next section, development.
Oh, can I just say something on design?
Totally.
Sorry, being a pain here.
too much advice.
No, look, great. I'll put my old touring hat on, because I used to be involved in touring. Can I encourage people to come up with tourable designs?
Yeah.
You're in a smallish space at the Blue Room anyway, so it's not going to be too elaborate. But if you are really pitching this show to have a future life and it's going to tour, nobody wants to have to redesign their stuff. That's expensive and it's hard. And a good show, it's the craft of the performance. And, you know, There's a couple of shows I've seen that have very basic sets. I'll quote here Yvonne Carlson's show, The Lucky Cat, right? It had a bunch of boxes. It didn't have much of a set, right? Okay, so you might walk in, oh, there's not much wow factor with the set. But that story and what they did with that set was really clever. The puppetry, it was just stunning. And I thought, there's a great example of a really simple set where the artistry and the craftsmanship of those artists is on display, and they know how to tell a story. So I'd ask you to really focus on your story, or, you know, how you're going to connect with the audience. And look, set is important, light, and it's all lighting, it's all important, but don't get too whipped up about making it really fiddly and tricky and non-tourable, because you set yourself a tough target then if you're going to launch that out into the world.
Yeah, that's great. So with development, we're a learning, you know, development organization at Blue Room. We want to support the creation of new work, but also the development of artists and their craft. So in terms of this question, what do you and the team want to get out of this experience? This could talk to something in yourself that you want to learn, like maybe it's the first show that you've done for children and families, or something that the team want to work on in terms of process, like a new way of making things or creating a show that is tourable. Is there anything else you wanted to add on that, Jenny?
I think it's helpful for people to have that experience of being in a festival process. They're big beasts, festivals, and they're a bit unwieldy, but it provides a valuable insight for artists if they're going to go and work for another festival, because when you're setting up a festival, you've got multiple shows, it's like lighting a match, it all has to flare at the same time, and it's a big experience, and it's quite a different routine to touring and so forth. There's different pressures. The other thing I would say is I think it's so it's really valuable, I think, for artists to understand how festival works. It doesn't have to be in too much detail, but I just often have people pitching to me thinking that, you know, they pitch to me the night before the festival opens and they're like, oh my God, do they know that I'm working 23 hours a day and pitching a show to me the day before opening breaks my brain. I can't give a respectful response. So they just get the idea of how it all rolls is really important. The other thing that's really helpful is having the networks, right? I will gloriously endorse Dreams from a Lonely Planet at Showcase next week. And any presenter in the room can come and ask me about that show. When those artists are applying for funding, I will happily support them in their next ambitions. And indeed, artists in this process, if they're applying for extra funding, I call it hunting in packs. A funder is going to look a lot more favourably upon a show if it has a guaranteed presentation outcome with a presenter or a festival. So there's some of the things you actually get to meet people in the industry who can be helpful. The Awesome Festival team are delightful human beings, and, you know, any time you can pretty well run into them and ask them for free advice, I'm not so delightful, but I'm happy to give free advice. I'm grumpy because I've got a sore arm. So also use those networks, because, you know, where there's a cohort of people who've been around for a while, we will move on. And what we're doing is we're trying to create a space for this next generation to come through. So I feel it's really important that those of us who have these positions of where we're directing festivals or running arts organisations, that we actually share that knowledge and encourage people to keep going and you know, I hope I hear from the Blue Room artists into the future to support them in any way I can.
Yeah, that's really great, Jenny. You're very generous with your knowledge as well. So yeah, huge. Okay, so with the next section, just like a quick note, is we did restructure the form, the application form last year, so that the flow and the focus was more on the creativity and the story. So hearing you say that as well, Jenny, was really great. And then the next section's like development, just one question on that, what Jenny was talking about before. And then the next is just one question on engagement. So this is different from the usual annual season form. I think it's the only question that differs. Who does the project connect with and how will you connect with them? You're talking about age groups before and, you know, having a bit of an idea about that. But how? What would you like to see in this question, like whether it's, you know, some engagement strategies or marketing strategies?
So in terms of engagement, I do bat on about audience, age groups and so forth, but the important audience members I keep forgetting to talk about, and I will mention them, are the adults in the room, because our festival is for them too. The Awesome Festival is an opportunity for people to put their phones in their back pocket and to have a shared experience with the young people in their lives. And there is nothing worse than sitting there with a child watching a show that you hate and you're looking at your watch and waiting for it to end. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. I hate Peppa Pig, and that's what I think all the parents do at Peppa Pig. They're going, oh, when's this drivel going to end? Sorry for the devotees of Peppa Pig.
Yeah,
I do look at the sliced bacon in the supermarket and go, that's a Peppa Pig jigsaw.
We've got gore.
Sorry.
We love it.
Sorry.
It's great. We're in the bar.
We're going there. We're in the bar. But like, you know, it's somebody in a zip-up suit dancing around a pre-recorded music, and children love it because they've seen it on TV. But it's, you know, I don't really think that it's telling great stories. And even the cartoons, a Scottish researcher has concluded that it's actually impeding language development in children because there's no facial recognition with that particular cartoon. So my ambition is for anybody who comes to the festival to buy in and love what they're seeing. And so that creates an opportunity for conversations. So I really want grandparents, parents, aunties, uncles, anybody who's a grown up. So it's not only about the audience, you're not making it, and this is why I say don't dumb it down. I mean, children aren't stupid, don't dumb it down. But you're also, adults know what dumbed down looks like as well. And so children aren't, you know, they're not silly. They'll pick a fake. So also think about I always like to say, what's the conversation in the car or the bus or the train going home? You know, and I have had a parent come to me after a show that was at the Blue Room a few years ago. It was not part of this partnership. And she said, my son is crying because the dog died. And it's like, oh, I said, okay. I said, you've just got a dog, haven't you? And she said, yes. I said, so how do you have a conversation about the fact that the pet is going to die? Anyway, she calmed down and came and said, that's a great point. We've had a family meeting. And I said, great. We'll try not to kill any more dogs in our shows for a while. But
just Peppa Pig.
Death to Peppa Pig. So just saying, if you actually put a show in called Death to Peppa Pig, it's going to get up. Yeah. So
all right, there you go. Yeah. We'll change the name.
Oh, my God. I hope we don't get sued by whoever runs Peppa Pig. This podcast is now going to go viral because of that. Think about the adults in the room. I like to say we have a layered program that's for everyone. Mm. So, you know, you're not necessarily pitching to a five-year-old. You're pitching to humans. Yeah. And I say make a show for humans.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in terms of engagement, like you can just put some dot points there of things, not just a whole marketing list of, you know, make it interesting for, you know, the panelists to read, but you can talk about those marketing strategies and also what's that experience going to be like. The engagement is about what is that feeling when they're walking into the space, or how do you connect with them when you're talking about coming to your show or afterwards. So there's room to
Echo that. And one of the things at Circuit West, I think Ryan Taff has actually been very good at communicating to people when he was at Circuit West, as well as Sam Lynch. How is your show going to make people feel?
Yeah.
How will people feel when they experience what you've got to offer? You know, that's the thing. It's and sometimes, look, honestly, it's so hard to market good shows made by independent producers because they're up against all the stuff that's on TV, and people unfortunately equate what's on TV with quality. And of course, some of the things that are on TV are high quality, but not all of them are. And so, you know, we like to be the champions of independently made work. So even big companies, you know, we're talking about, you know, smaller independent producers here and individual artists, but companies like Barking Gecko, Spare Parts, Windmill Theatre, they are still very much independent producers when you compare them to the likes of these big franchises that have stadium shows. So, you know, we're in this situation where, you know, people are making beautifully crafted work, but it's very hard to get traction in a media landscape of time-poor parents who go, oh, my kid loves that on TV, therefore I'm going to take my kid to that thing because I know they love that. They will probably love Barking Gecko. They'll probably love our Blue Room show, but it's really hard to get them there because there's no previous experience of what that is. So if you can focus on how it will make people feel, I think that's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah, that's really great. Cool. Well, the next section is all on planning. It's on quite dry stuff, project timelines, you know, tasks and responsibilities, and success of the project. We did do another session on that last night. So we'll put that up on our website as well, and people can just go to that. It's pretty similar in terms of the rest of the annual season information. I just want to jump to the support material now. So for support material, we have in there some required stuff, scripted works, if it's scripted, if it's devised, then put in a synopsis and talk about how you're going to make the work, artist bios. Just a tip on support material, there are some recommended ones that you can do, but there's not actually, you don't need to put as much in as possible. It's just kind of like quality over quantity. We just want to get an idea of what your vision is and if there's any gaps that you feel you haven't been able to answer in the application, or you can strengthen by giving, you know, a visual, like the images and drawings are recommended ones. Director notes could be anything, just someone talking directly about the show. Images of previous work and reviews, so you can select up to three of those, and there's a few extra like video and audio, but that's kind of the form. I just wanted to pick your brain about all of those things, and it's been so helpful. Is there anything that you want to add?
I do.
Yeah,
you know, I
of
always
course.
Do.
Yeah.
Can I just please encourage as many of you as possible to make work for young audiences? They are the best audience in the universe, and we don't have enough good artists making work for them. And I will do everything in my power to see that we have a thriving sector of makers for this audience, because that's, we really need it. And you know, I was at a round table that the minister spoke at yesterday, and he said, if we're not getting young people involved in the arts and creativity, how do we expect them to remain involved as adults? It's absolutely critical. It's such an important and wonderful audience to be working with. So if you have a little tiny little inkling or an instinct that you might want to make a work for young audiences, please, please go there, because some of us in the sector will welcome you with open arms. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a gig at the festival, but I'm always happy to support and work with people to see if we can you know, get more people making.
Great. And yes, if you're thinking about making work, or you've got any questions about the application, you can contact apply@blueroom.org.au, and we can also shoot stuff through to you, Jenny. Thank you so much. And thank
My
you
pleasure.
To Sophie Minasali,
Thanks,
our guest
Sophie.
Artist as well. All right. And we're out.